Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we welcome you each week to these broadcasts. We invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. We meet at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga. If you can't join us in person, we would love to have you join us on our live stream. You can go to our live stream at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com and click on the live stream. If you miss the live streams, you can always go to our YouTube channel, which is the Seed Christian Fellowship, and watch any of our services or just our weekly messages. It's our prayer at the Seed that we all come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. Today, we're going to talk about a tough subject, anger. And the title of this message is Anger Alters. I've got a passage from Proverbs, and then we'll go to Matthew, Proverbs 12, 14 to 28. From the fruit of the mouth, one is filled with good things, and manual labor has its rewards. Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to advice. Fools show their anger at once, but the prudent ignore an insult. Whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness speaks deceitfully. Rash words are like sword thrust, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. Deceit is in the mind of those who plan evil, but those who counsel peace have joy. No harm happens to the righteous, but the wicked are filled with trouble. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. One who is clever conceals knowledge, but the mind of a fool broadcasts folly. The hand of the diligent will rule, while the lazy will be put to forced labor. Anxiety weighs down the human heart. Boy, is that the truth. But a good word cheers it up. The righteous give good advice to friends, but the way of the wicked leads astray. The lazy do not roast their game, but the diligent obtain precious wealth. In the path of the righteous there is life, and walking its path there is no death. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus begins with the Beatitudes and speaks about the character traits of a Christian. A Christian will be poor in spirit, sorrowful for sin, meek, hungry, and thirsty for righteousness, merciful, pure in heart, a peacemaker, well, and will endure persecution. As Christians, we are called to be salt and light of the world. In the rest of the chapter 5, Matthew, in chapter 5 of Matthew, Jesus challenges those who are listening with powerful negative statements for living a righteous life. Each statement is introduced by a formula. You have heard it said to people long ago, or maybe your translation might say you have heard that it is said. In each case, the points are very similar. They're true Christian traits that arise from the heart of God. Let us listen for God's word to our hearts today as we prepare our hearts to receive his grace and love. Matthew 5, 21 to 26. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable for judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you'll be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you'll be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. Now, those are some powerful, challenging words. Let us pray. Dear Lord, God Almighty, giver of the word of life and the light of the world, may your words be alive and redemptive to our hearts and our lives today. We ask, Lord, that your words would fill us with grace, truth, and love, and help us to grow in your love and in your reconciliation and in your forgiveness and in your grace. Amen. Well, today we are going to talk about something practical. Anger. Oh, stay tuned. Don't turn off the dial. Stay tuned. I believe we all struggle with anger. We don't have much time to talk about this today, but let's see if we can cover a little bit of ground. Crazy things happen to our senses of our. What I want to say is crazy things happen to our sense of judgment when we get angry. In February of 2009, a 27-year-old woman from Fort Pierce, Florida, walked into a McDonald's restaurant and ordered a 10-piece McNugget. You know how it is when you're hungry and you have a taste for something particular. Your imagination starts working and you can almost taste those McNuggets. Well, that's when things got really tough for this hungry woman. The person behind the counter took the order, received the payment. The McDonald's employee then discovered that they were out of those bite-sized, warm, tasty McNuggets. The employee told the customer that the restaurant had run out of McNuggets and she'd have to get something else from the menu. The customer asked for her money back. The employee said all sales are fine on. She could have a larger priced item from the menu if she wanted. The customer got angry. She wanted McNuggets, not a Big Mac, not a McRib, not a quarter pounder. She was angry, really angry, and she took out her cell phone and called 911. Apparently, the 911 workers didn't take her seriously because of the McNugget-loving woman had to call three times to get help. Well, she never got her McNuggets, but she did get a ticket from the police for misusing 911. Anger twist our perspective. It skews our judgment. Anger makes small things big and big things small. When we're angry, having to eat a burger instead of McNuggets, well, it's a disaster. And calling 911, it's not really a big deal. Crazy things happen when we get angry. Let me tell you, anger is a feeling. Anger is an emotional response. Over my many years of ministry, I've done a lot of premarital and marital counseling and pastoral care. One of the biggest topics that we discuss during our time, especially with couples, is the reality of dealing with anger. Now, maybe you're listening and you're dealing with anger. Maybe this message is for you. I spend a lot of time talking about feelings. Just this past week, I did some premarital counseling for a young couple. I had married their close friends a few years ago, and as I began sharing, I said, feelings are not right or wrong. Feelings just are. It is what we do with our feelings that makes them right or wrong. The young bride-to-be began to laugh. She said that her girlfriend had told her that I was big on feelings and that I would say, feelings are not right or wrong. Feelings just are. It's what you do with your feelings that makes them right or wrong. I'm big on feelings. I believe that all of our feelings are God-given. Every feeling we have is a feeling or emotion that God has. We are created in God's image. Read through the Psalms and find out how David prayed through his feelings. In 1981, my wife and I made a marriage encounter, and here's what we learned. Feelings aren't not right or wrong. Feelings just are. It was a time that we had to talk about our feeling. It was what we do with our feelings that make them right or wrong. In Ephesians, Paul writes these words about anger. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Ephesians 4:26 and 27. Be angry. Wow. There's a word. Be angry, but do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. What a powerful advice from Paul. Our reading from Proverbs has some solid advice for anger, too. It says, fools show their anger at once, but the prudent ignore an insult. Boy, do we need a lot of that today. In fact, I have included a list of Proverbs that deal with anger. If you want them, I can email them to you. Proverbs are for head wisdom, and I encourage you to pick up a sheet let me email you a sheet and see what these Proverbs have to say. You can email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship, and I'll get those to you. Anger is a feeling. That's our first point. Anger is a feeling. Anger is neither right nor wrong. It is a feeling. It just is. It is what we do with our anger that makes us right or wrong. Well, how is this anger a feeling produced? If anger is a feeling, then how do we come about with that feeling? In his book, The Divine Conspiracy by Dallas Willard, he states it this way. Anger is a feeling that seizes us in our body and immediately impels us towards interfering with or possibly even harming those who have thwarted our will and interfered with our life. Isn't that true? Anger is a feeling or an emotion that is always driven by something else. Let me say that again. Anger is a feeling or an emotion that is always driven by something else. Anger is a secondary emotion that is often driven by one of three major emotions: fear, pain, or frustration. Anger is a secondary emotion always driven by something else. The top three are fear, pain, and frustration. What happens when you back a cat into the corner? Well, you have one scared cat because he's afraid. The same thing happens to us when we are afraid. We recently studied a book by Max Lucado called Fearless. Max writes about the power fear possesses to turn us into beastly people. Fear turns us into control freaks. For fear, at its center, is a perceived loss of control. When life spins wildly, we grab for a component of life we can manage: our diet, the tidiness of our home, the armrest of an airplane, or in many cases, people. The more insecure we feel, the meaner we become. We growl and bare our fangs. Why? Because we are bad? No, in part, but because we are out of control. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we're talking about anger. It's a tough topic. Anger is a secondary emotion, always driven by something else. Martin Niemöller documents an extreme example of this fear. He was a German pastor who took a heroic stand against Adolf Hitler. When he first met the dictator in 1933, Niemöller stood at the back of the room and listened. Later, when his wife asked him what he'd learned, he said, "I discovered that Herr Hitler is a terribly frightened man." Fear releases the tyrant within us. When we are afraid, we become angry. The second emotion that drives anger is pain. Pain drives anger. Well, when you drop a hammer on your foot or you slam your finger in a cabinet, you become angry because you are in pain. Pain drives anger, and fear drives anger. The number one emotion that drives anger, though, it's frustration. Frustration is a feeling of disappointment, exasperation, or weariness caused by our goals being thwarted or desires being unsatisfied. How often do we yell at the person who is slowing down in front of us? How often do we lose our temper when things are not going our way? How often have we lost it with our children when it seems they are not listening? How often do we become upset with God when we think God's not listening? Frustration, disappointment, exasperation, weariness, being at the end of our rope. Well, friends, that can cause a lot of anger problems. Remember, anger is a feeling. Anger is not right or wrong. It just is. What we do with our anger changes our behavior, and that can be right or wrong. Let me talk about the cure for the altar of anger. a little bit today. A Sunday school teacher was discussing the Ten Commandments with her class of 5 and 6-year-olds, and after explaining the commandment to honor thy father and thy mother, she asked, "Is there a commandment that teaches us how to treat our brothers and sisters?" Without missing a beat, one little 5-year-old boy said, "Thou shalt not kill." Well, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were talking, were taking the sixth commandment, which is found in Exodus 20:13, "Thou shalt not kill," and combining it with a verse from Numbers 35:30 that demanded death for anyone who unlawfully took innocent life. The Pharisees added to God's word, and they thought they had righteousness beyond others. Jesus, in Matthew 5, challenges them by saying, "But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you'll be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you'll be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you'll be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, and if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go first to be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift." Wow. Those are Jesus' words on anger in Matthew 5. We don't have enough time today to go into all the Greek and all the theological meanings behind these two verses. But the first step in the cure is to admit that we are angry. The aim of Jesus' illustration on anger is to bring us to terms with what is in our heart. We will either turn our anger inward and hurt ourselves, or we will turn our anger outward and hurt others. Well, so what? What can we learn from God's word about anger today? 7 years, I'm going to make a little personal application and make a confession to you. My wife and I have been married for 49 years. What a blessing that is. But 7 years into our marriage, my wife and I went for counseling. And after several visits, the secular counselor asked me what I was going to do with my anger. I laughed at her and told her that I was not angry. I grew up in an angry home, and I knew what anger looked like. I had sworn I would never be angry. Good luck on that. A few years later, we found a great man by the name of Joe. He was a former pastor. He became my spiritual director and counselor, and Joe helped me to learn how to deal with and express my anger. One day, my wife and I were in the kitchen, and I said to her, and I was looking out the kitchen window, I said, "I'm really angry today." My wife, she started to jump and dance around the kitchen. I looked at her like she was lost her mind, and I said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "We've been married 10 years, and I have never heard you say that you were angry." "Woo-hoo," she said. We talked as I worked through my anger issue that day. I titled this message, "Anger Altars," A-L-T-A-R-S, the altar, like, because it's really a good visual for us. Many of us spend a lot of time on anger altars. We built quite a monument, and we think it will protect us. It'll protect us from our fear. This anger will protect us from our pain. This anger will protect us from our frustration. We decorate our altars with our hurtful words or even our hurtful actions. We enslave our hearts and lives to these pitiful monuments that we build called anger. Here is Jesus telling us how to stop the meaningless worship. He says, "Never leave your gift, but go and be reconciled." Remember that anger is a feeling. And feelings are not right or wrong. It's what you do with your feelings that makes them right or wrong. We can be like the woman at McDonald's and lose it all over a few McNuggets, or we can take Jesus' advice and confess our anger. Here's the so what for us today. Are you angry? I would say good. Dance around. celebrate. If you're driving or at work, maybe you can't do that. But the first step, and it's a healthy step, is to acknowledge your feeling. Remember, anger is a secondary feeling. There's another feeling that is more real than your anger. Fear, pain, frustration. I would say go hunting. Find out what that secondary feeling is behind your feeling of anger. And then when you find it, pray. Pray. Ask God to help you figure out how to be reconciled in this issue. I know this is all going to come down to one thing, isn't it? Forgiveness. Wow, that's a big word, big theological concept. You may have to forgive yourself. You may have to forgive someone else who really hurt you. You may even have to, well, forgive God. But if the Sermon on the Mount is worth building our foundation on, then we need to really wrestle with what Jesus is saying. He is asking us to stop spending so much time worshiping at our anger altars. Jesus is asking us to trade one altar for another, his. Today, we come to a table of grace and forgiveness. The whole series is about wise and foolish builders. Read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. That's my challenge to you. But when you get to chapter 7, it's all about the wise builder and the foolish builder. That's this whole series. It's called Life Improvements. The whole series is about the wise and the foolish and what we build our lives upon. The wise build on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. The foolish build on sinking sand. We are to be the salt and light of the world. We are to be a city on a hill. The world is watching and needs to see how we leave our anger and leave it at the altar of Christ and how we begin the healing process by coming to Him, receiving His forgiveness. This, my friends, is the good news, that whatever our issues are, whatever our pains, whatever our fears, whatever our frustrations, we can leave them with Christ. We can leave them because Jesus nailed it all to a lonely cross on a lonely hill a long time ago. Jesus has overcome it all. He has overcome hell, death, and the grave. He rose and He lives. Jesus is alive, and we're able to receive grace upon grace when we bring our fear, pain, frustration, and anger to Him. We can leave it all at His altar today and be forgiven and be forgiving people. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, help us to deal with our anger properly. Help us to recognize that our anger is a secondary emotion, not a primary one. Help us to go hunting and find the cause, our fear, our pain, and frustration, and help us to bring all of our fear, pain, and frustration to You so that we can be reconciled to You and be forgiven. And help us be ministers of reconciliation in this world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you don't have a home church, we'd invite you to come on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. You can join us in person at 9284 Baseline Road, or you can join us on our live stream. And you can go to the website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com and click on the live stream. My prayer is that you'll come to know this love of God and grow in His grace and go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. God loves you, and so do I. Have a blessed week, and be ministers of reconciliation. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center. at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.